We're immigrants from Vietnam. My family moved here in 77. And, you know, with most immigrants, we were, quote unquote, processed in Dallas. And so I stayed in Dallas until I was almost 18, till so 17. And then I moved to California between 17 and 18 and lived there until I was in my early 40s, my mid 40s. Yeah. So most of my life was spent in the Bay Area. I spent 25, 26 years there, and then another 17 years in Dallas. You know, I think when we talk about Asians, I think, you know, most Asians are used to, you know, being close to bodies of water. So California has always been really, you know, really popular for Asians in general, even moving or relocating or immigrating. I think Asians prefer the West Coast, you know, all the way from San Diego up to Vancouver. You see a lot of Asians there. Much more, you know, it's not as a, you know, you're not surprised to see how many Asians there are versus, you know, other parts of the country, the Midwest. And, you know, I think there's even more Asians than the East Coast. They tend to like the warmer weather, and that's where I ended up. And to tell you the truth, I wouldn't move back to California anytime. It's just now I probably have to save a lot longer to be able to move back to California than, since living here, you know. And I mean, living here, you know, it's so affordable and it's accessible to most of the states, which makes it very, you know, a very nice place to live, very easy place to live. My partner was VF, and before he was VF, VF owns Vans and North Face and a couple of the high profile companies. But he was working with Vans and they adored him there. And then so they sent him to VF in Greensboro to represent Vans on the HR side. And then VF really liked his work and everything like that. So VF, you know, asked him if he had an interest in joining the corporation as opposed to just one arm of it. And so with the blessing of his bosses in Vans, he, you know, he talked to me. And at that time, we were in California 25, 26 years, and we were just kind of burnt out because this is when California was at its height before COVID. Everything was super expensive. And we felt as though we were just working to live as opposed to enjoy living. And then, so when the opportunity came up, we decided that, you know, we'll give it a shot. And if VF was gonna bring him to Greensboro, I think there was gonna be a lot of opportunities for his career. So we did it as an effort for, to improve his career and give him more visibility with his company. We were in transition. He moved here in 15. I was in transition in 16. I officially moved here January of 17.
Okay.
So in 16, I was still going back and forth, trying to figure out, you know, the logistics of me shutting down what I was doing and moving over here and starting over. I supported myself through college being a waiter and working my way up. So I think I started in the industry when I was, 17. Actually, let me correct that. My very first job when I was 14 was in Dallas and I worked at Burger King. So that was my very first job. Being an Asian immigrant, you know, because my parents didn't come from money, and as immigrants, they didn't bring money with them. So we grew up very modestly, but it was a good way for, you know, all of the kids to start working and start making their own money and help contributing to the family. So we, as teenagers, I mean, even before Burger King, I was throwing newspaper just to help and support the family, or support myself so my family wouldn't, or support myself so that my parents didn't have the burden of having to support all the four kids. My dad was a machinist for a tech company in Texas, IT, Texas Instrument, which I don't even think is around anymore. My mom was working for a company that made medical equipment. Started working in a quote unquote real restaurant, service restaurant, probably when I was, let me think here, around 18, 19. Mm-hmm. So I worked under until I was 42, and then I opened this restaurant when I was 43 and I'm 47, almost 48. See, that's about right. The restaurant's gonna be 4 years old in about 3 months. When I moved here with Patrick, after I graduated from college, I supported myself through the restaurant during college. After college, I did a corporate stint. It wasn't for me. And I've always enjoyed the restaurant industry. So after I quit my job, I had to find a way to pay my bill. And I figured the easiest way to make money is back to the restaurant. Restaurants in the Bay Area is a different animal than restaurants here. I think, I've always believed that the Bay Area is probably the best place for a restaurant, be a waiter or work in the restaurant, because of the laws in California where restaurants have to provide health insurance, restaurants have to pay a minimum city wage, and then people also have to get to keep all of their tips. California, or in a bigger city, a mature restaurant industry, people don't bat a brow when it comes to an expensive bottle of wine, especially in the Bay Area with Napa and Sonoma in the background. So it made it very easy to make a living there. It made it very easy for people to be professional servers over there. So when I moved here, I talked to some of the restaurant groups around here, and most of them offered me a position, but then I looked back at it and it wasn't a good fit for me because what I wanted to do was totally different from what everyone else was doing around town. And so when I discovered the easy living, AKA inexpensive living here, it provided me the opportunity to kind of like open my own restaurant because I've always wanted to do that. So that's what we did. And we opened this restaurant and we stuck true to what we want to do. And at first it was, people did bat a brow about what we were trying to do. But I think as soon as we found our following, it became better and better and bigger and bigger. And we relatively haven't done any marketing. So all of our guests right now are word of mouth, which is the best advertisement ever. And to this day, we still have people asking us if we want to advertise in their publication or something. And that's just not in our business model. I enjoy cooking. I learned my cooking from my mother. And, back to how, my family was not well off. We were not poor, but my parents generally work hard for the money. So, I always had to help out and I found enjoyment in that. And I didn't realize that until I started working at the restaurant. And then when I realized that I didn't like the corporate world, it always came back to the restaurant. And that's because I enjoy working with people and inspiring people in this industry. For me, cooking, I always found cooking as a hobby. Maybe it reminds me of times with mom. I had the privilege of working with, the best chefs in San Francisco. And it flatters me that a lot of them have asked me to join their kitchen. But that's a lot more hard work than being a server. So I always kind of stuck to the front of house versus the back of house. But it's very flattering when these high profile chefs ask me, hey, do you want to join the kitchen? So I've always known what I like in food. I've always known what I wanted the food to be presented. I know what to look for in tasting food. I'm coming here, but I've always been front of house. So I've never been back of house. So when I came here, I had to find talent that is willing to execute my food. The problem is that a lot of kitchens or a lot of chefs want to do their own food. So there has to be a clear communication of what's expected. And I will give up control of the kitchen as soon as I find out what your point of view is, what your food is like. As of right now, I think that I probably have the best working chef I've had in my many incarnation of chefs that I've had there. And the chef now that I have is a great pairing because I would tell him what dishes I think needs to be changed. And then I give him a couple of weeks to come up with his dish and we taste it. And then I question him why he does things a certain way. And then working together, I give him critique about how I think this dish should be. And then we come to an agreement. And then that's how the dish comes onto the dining room floor. And even the first couple of weeks, it's always, checking with guests to see what their honest feedback is. And fortunately, we have a lot of regulars that will be brutally honest with me, and it helps. It helps the restaurant, but it helps us change what we need to change to make it pleasing to everyone. Of course, we're never gonna make everyone happy, but at least if we get 95% of them, we're good with that. Asians in general are very competitive with one another. I think when it comes to restaurant food, they've done disservice to themselves. And that's why you see Chinese food, Thai food, Vietnamese food at the very low spectrum of food costs. You know, you don't see an American restaurant with the price points of Asian restaurants from an Asian perspective. So if you look at our menu, it has touches and nuances of Asian, but you would never guess it because if it's too much, then it pulls a lot of people away from the descriptor. But if you use it, you know, more generally and just kind of like nuances in there, it makes the place, you know, umami, let's say, a flavor that's very well respected in the Asian community. But if you put that on a palate, you know, of an American menu, people wouldn't understand what that is. But if you disguise it in there and then explain to them what the process is, then they'll get a lot better. And I wanted to bring, you know, an Asian restaurant that is not serving pho or pad thai or, you know, beef and broccoli at $5.95 a plate. I didn't want to do a special just to bring in business and not represent what I want to do. And I also wanted to bring in my knowledge of wine and pairing and to able to provide that to the community. I mean, you know, I'm very proud of our wine list because we bring a wine here that no one else has really carried or no one else had the balls to stock. And we bring it here because it pairs with our food very well. It's from famous winemaker. And it's one of those same thing again, because you're always thinking, you know, you go into an Asian restaurant, it's going to have Tsingtao and Lao beer, you know, it's never going to have like Paulado Syrah, which pairs perfectly, or, you know, a Kellergruner from Germany that will do really well. So I wanted to bring all of that into the spectrum at White and Wood. I want to show that we don't have to stick to Asian food, and that we don't have to sell our food at a very low rate just to have people come in and try it. Food is an important part in Asian culture, because what I realized is Asians, you know, host people with food. You know, you go to any Asian household, and I don't know, you know, how, you know, what your family's like, but, you know, my mom, who barely speaks English, will always cook for my friends. That's how I am now as an adult. You know, it's like, you know, Asians, when you call them up to meet socially, have a drink, it's always, let's have dinner somewhere, you know, let's have a drink somewhere. I think food in the Asian culture is the welcoming gift, the language that translates to welcome, you know, let me feed you. So I think it is what is what represents the Asian community in hosting, in hospitality. So it's our culture and everything, you know. Like, I remember growing up, we would always have to have dinner with the family. We would always have to be quiet eat, enjoy the food, socialize with family there. Back then, food, I thought, was very representative of the Asian culture. When I host, you know, friends for dinner, you know, I would put out a spread and they'll come over, they're like, oh my God, why is there so much food? You know, why can't you just pick up some pizza or something? You know, that, so it says a lot, and you know, how we are brought up and how we look at food and how other cultures look at food. But I think food is Asian culture's way of saying you're welcome. Mm-hmm. Or come on in. You know, to eat someone's food and to be curious about the food is a way of posing questions about where's the food coming from. For me, I have an interest in history of food and, you know, what, you know, where's this food coming from, and, you know, what do you guys use? How is it spiced? So I think it definitely is a way of getting to know people. I think if I had a rough day, I'm always gonna go to liquid food. I'm always gonna go to a glass of wine or a glass of champagne, more or less. Yes, I think that would be my food of choice. I love to go to restaurants in bigger city and be inspired by them. I love to, I love to go to grocery store. I can live in a grocery store. I'm one of those person who go from aisle to aisle to aisle to look at all the new products. I love going to food shows just to see what's on the market. Travel. I like spending time with my family. I like spending time with my friends. I think I weigh them very heavily. Those are my pastime. Occasionally I have some time for TV, but I think traveling and dining are my biggest passion. I've been back to Vietnam twice. I've been to other parts of Asia as well. And as soon as this pandemic's over, I'm dying to go back to the middle part of Vietnam. We're from the south. We're from an island that is known for its fish sauce called Phu Quoc. And right now there's a lot of development in Phu Quoc because they want to turn it into like the next Maldives. It's where the real China Beach is. It's next to Hoi An, which is known as the city that's lit by lanterns. So it has a lot of artsy stores, has a lot of art, has a lot of custom fashion. It's getting developed more and more. It has great food, and Vietnam in general has inexpensive food that's very true to Vietnam. Da Nang has some of the best hotels in the world. I think my favorite hotel is in Da Nang. And then next to that is Wei. Wei is where the old emperors were buried in Vietnam. So it has a lot of history, has a lot of cultural value, has great, the food of Vietnam is split into regions, but the middle of Vietnam has some food that's really cool that you don't find mainstream, you don't find on many Vietnamese menu in the US. I think, going back to Vietnam with an Asian American's perspective, I think you don't realize what the war has done to the country. And you look at it from a first world country, cheated of the opportunity to see what it is like to really be there. Because, every time you go back there now, they automatically know that you are a expat and that they believe if you made it out of the country that you are, loaded with cash. So they always cater to you, they always be nice to you. And that's what I don't think you don't get to see how the real people live, how it really is. You get to see it from a tourist perspective. Think that, growing up in the US, you get too accustomed to the ways of the first world country versus when I went back to my grandmother's house and having to use the outhouse. I'm like, what is this? I have not been attacked or harassed or anything like that. At the same time, I hear horror stories about, stuff happening in the Bay Area, stuff happening in New York. I've seen videos of it. And it scares me that I really, I've spoken to my sister and asked my sister to, not to take my parents anywhere. And I usually take my parents when I travel, but I'm not gonna take my parents to travel. I probably will not go back to New York or the Bay Area anytime soon and bring my parents with them because, I can't protect them and I would hate them to be, sucker punched by some idiot. So it hasn't affected me, but it does affect what I think and how I think of taking my family out and about.
Yeah.
People open their eyes and I hope that this Asian bashing ends soon and anti-Asian sentiment ends soon because it's really, it's not helping the community at all. It's not helping race relations. It's just making it worse. And there's nothing that comes out of, a young punk beating up an older Asian person. And it's just, you know, it's just, we, you know, it baffles me why this is happening. It's easy to point fingers. You know, I just hope everyone kind of opens their eyes and be more supportive of mankind, not just a race.